Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. We are continuing to consider the question found in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, and that question is, what shall we do? What shall we do? And as we consider this question, we are once again recognizing that this is a response. And in order to appreciate the response, and that is how the question came to be, we must understand and consider the preceding events. So what came before this question? And that's what we've been looking at. So as we not only considered the question itself, but looked at the events that preceded the question, we are taking a look at this point specifically at the power of God. And this is what was spoken of by our Lord Jesus Christ in the first chapter of Acts. And we've considered the words of Jesus to the apostles before his ascension. And as we've considered his words, we've looked at other scriptures that actually speak to the power of God, or that really cause us to consider the power of God as communicated again in the scriptures. And this is what we've been focused on up to this point. So we are going to continue to look at what the scriptures have to say about the power of God. And we had looked at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. And once again, we're just considering what was communicated concerning the power of God here in Ephesians. And we looked at chapter 1, verses 15 through 20, and again, just concerning God's power, as the Apostle Paul mentions his prayer, and he says that he ceased not to give thanks, making mention of you in my prayers here in verse 16. And he goes on to say in verses 17 through 19, he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And again, just considering the words that are communicated here, and when the Apostle Paul goes on in verse 20 here in the first chapter of Ephesians to say, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So again, what we are emphasizing is the power of God, and as communicated here in Ephesians concerning God's power, the Apostle Paul communicates this prayer for the believers, for the saints at Ephesus, and specifically pointing out the exceeding greatness of God's power, how his power excels, how his great power excels. You know, the way that we tend to look at God is almost as if we view him as the little engine that could. You know, he has to try harder to do more, as if he doesn't have all that he needs within himself, and as if he's not able to do all that we can even think or imagine, and even more than that. And this is another portion of scripture that we're going to look at here in Ephesians, but considering again the exceeding greatness of his power, that you may know this, and this is the point of emphasis here concerning the exceeding greatness of God's power, and not just the exceeding greatness of his power, that is how his power excels in greatness, but not only that, but it is the excelling greatness of his power toward us who believe. And this is, again, the point of emphasis concerning the exceeding greatness of God's power, is that this is his power toward us, that you may know this. And this is the one of the great deficiencies in the church among believers now. We don't know the exceeding greatness of God's power. We feel like somehow that God has gone bankrupt in relation to his power, that he's not able to do. That there are some things that are too hard for God. There are some things that are impossible for God. We just tend to see God as this divine being who's just doing the best that he can do, bless his heart. When in actuality, it is very clear that we need to be informed. We need to come to know. And this is, again, the Apostle Paul's prayer for the believers, that you may know, that you may know the exceeding greatness of his power toward us, and it's toward us who believe. And again, keep in mind that we are considering this in relation to the question, what shall we do? This again in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, but to really understand this, we've got to know the greatness of God's power. This is what leads to this response. It is the greatness of God's power. You know, churches, Christians, believers, the community of believers, we oftentimes try very hard, and I think that our intentions are good, as it were. It certainly seems that we mean well, but we often tend to come up with everything to draw people except reliance on the power of God. We resort to many antics and many programs and many methods or methodologies to draw people and to get numbers and to boast about baptisms and membership and church size and church growth. And it seems that the last thing that we give any credibility to, or the last one who we depend on, is God himself, and the church is his. So considering the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, then if we believe, then we have access and we are on the receiving end of God's exceeding or exceedingly great power. So Paul is saying, I want you to know this. And this is the power that is promised and that we will see is manifested before this question is asked, what shall we do? And so when we consider God's power, it's about knowing. It's about knowing his power, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, so that we may know. And it's the only way that we can know is if the Lord gives light to our eyes, opens our understanding. And this is for those of us who believe. And again, according to the working of his mighty power, this is a different word for power here, not the same one that we're referring to in relation to Acts, but it is nonetheless the working of his great power, his force, the forcefulness of his force, if you will. And this is what we're talking about. His strength, when we talk about the mighty power. And it's interesting in Ephesians that that the power of God is communicated by the Apostle Paul here. And as we move on to chapter 3, the same thing. And then what we remember when we look at chapter 6, where he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It again is a different terminology. And yet it's still talking about the strength of the Lord. It's still talking about his greatness and his great power, his great force, his great strength, and the working of his great strength, how he excels in great strength. And this is toward us. And this is what we must understand. So again, now looking at Ephesians chapter 3, considering the power of God, this is where we are in relation to Acts chapter 2, specifically the question and response in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. So looking at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, where the Apostle Paul says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Unto him. Unto him. And the Apostle Paul speaks of this where he says in chapter 3, starting at verse 14, where he says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, again, in relation to God's power, he's referring to his prayer for the believers, just as he did in chapter 1. He says this now again in Ephesians chapter 3, where he says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you. This is Paul's request, that God, he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. So again, what is it that Paul is petitioning God for on behalf of the believers? What is his concern? What is his desire that we will know God's power? And not just for the sake of knowing, but for the sake of being confident in God's power in us. And this is what the Apostle Paul is emphasizing again, the power of God, that he would grant you, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Emphasis on his spirit, strengthened with might by his spirit, not by life coaches, religious gurus, other methods or programs and other forms of churchianity, if you will. No, but by his spirit. That's why by the Lord himself says, by my spirit, saith the Lord. And so he goes on to say in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. And again, he's speaking of knowing. He's speaking of understanding. Understanding what? The power of God, the might of God, according to his spirit in us, in the inner man, the inner person. Christ dwelling in us. that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Filled with the fullness of God. Consider that in relation to the power of God. This is what he said. His spirit, his power, his might, his strength. Not just that, the greatness of it. The exceeding greatness of his power, of his might, his strength. That you will comprehend this, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. God has plenty of himself to give. And to know the love of Christ, as he said in the preceding portion of verse 19 here in Ephesians chapter 3, which passeth knowledge, beyond knowing and understanding. That's how great. That's why he says breadth and length and depth and height. And then he goes in verse 20 here in Ephesians chapter 3. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. How is he going to do it? According to the power that worketh in us. How is he going to do it? According to his power. What kind of power? He talked about the kind of power that he's speaking of. The exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. The working of his mighty power. This is what he's speaking of. Chapter 1, chapter 3, speaking of God's great power. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. This is the excelling power of God according to the power that worketh in. His power is at work in us, the exceeding abundant power of God. And so being filled with the fullness of God, all of this according to his spirit, by his spirit, in verse 16 here in Ephesians chapter 3. So consider this again, the power of God in relation to the question, what shall we do? Our understanding as the people of God should be just as dependent on the power of God as we see in Acts chapters 1 and 2. And this is my point of emphasis here. We should never get over the power of God. We should never feel like we are set apart from the power of God, that we can come up with our own devices, that we can come up with our own means and methods concerning God's power and the work that only he can do in and of ourselves, that suddenly we graduate from the power of God and we are now independent of God to do the work that we say is in the name of God through Jesus Christ. You can't do it without his power. Back to the point that I'm making in relation to what the Lord Jesus communicates to the apostles in Acts chapter 1. You've got to wait for the promise of the Father. And you're going to receive power. But you've got to wait for the promise power in order to do the work. Purpose and responsibility, all according to the promise power of the Father through Jesus Christ. And we're going to continue to look at this. So we look now, if you'll join me, in 1 Peter chapter 1. And if you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So here we go. Well, now we look at the keeping power of God. God's power keeps us. So when we speak of the power of God, again, the emphasis here is on his keeping power. Consider this. He has begotten us again. That is, he has brought us forth again unto a living hope. Our hope and our confidence is in the life that we see by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is a living hope. We don't serve a dead Savior. So this testimony, all that we're going to look at that leads to this question, what shall we do, is all based on a living hope. And this living hope is based on a new birth, born from above, born again. And this inheritance that is spoken of here in 1 Peter, that this inheritance is the heavenly inheritance. That's why it is reserved in heaven. So while it is reserved in heaven, we find ourselves with a reservation. But in the meantime, we've got to be kept and prepared, made ready for that which God has made ready for us. What he has prepared for us, as the word says. So in the meantime, we are told in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, we're kept by the power of God. We are protected. We are guarded. We are hemmed in by the power of God. And if I could say it very, very frankly, can't nobody get past that. No devil, no demon, no man, no creature. Nobody can get past the protection that God has for us, because God has all power. There's no power greater than God. And so we are kept by his power. We are protected by the power of God through faith. That's what he requires of us. And this is the power of God. We're kept by his power through faith. And where does our faith take us to? What does our faith get us? Salvation. The deliverance that God promises through Jesus Christ. The living hope that we have through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so our faith carries us to the deliverance that God promises us, that he's demonstrated according to his great power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we are kept by his power through faith. We keep believing. We continue to trust unto salvation. That is where we cash it in. That is where the redeemed say so. Ready to be revealed in the last time. And we're going to talk about this a little more in relation to what Peter says in Acts chapter 1 and 2. When we begin to listen to Peter's words in chapter 2 in Acts, then we're going to see what he says in relation to the last days or this last time. So again, this is about the power of God. We are kept. We are protected by his power. Remember, we have a living hope. And this is all tied to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So this power, again, is the power that keeps us according to our faith unto salvation. And this is the power that we are speaking of in Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 1. So as we consider the words of Peter in 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so we highlight again the power of God, his divine power in verse 3. His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. This is what we have, is his divine power. His divine power, that is God's miraculous power, has given us all that we need pertaining to or unto life and godliness. The life that comes through Christ. That's why he speaks of through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. This is what Peter is speaking of here. Again, the power of God. He's given us what we need according to his divine power. You cannot have life and godliness without the power of God. You cannot know him apart from his power. The knowledge of God, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, is in accordance with the power of God, his divine power, because it is revealed to us by his Spirit, God himself. And this is the divine power that God gives us, that we may know him, live for him, be devoted to him, be found in him. And this is what he says in verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. You see how this works hand in hand with what's being communicated in Acts? It's all according to the promise and the promises. But we understand and we live this way, and we have knowledge according to godliness because of his divine power in us. The promise concerning the promises, that by these ye might be partakers, that's fellowship, sharers of the divine nature. We share in God's nature according to his power, manifested by his Spirit, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through what? Through lust. And this is the living hope. This is being begotten again. This is being brought forth again, regenerated, born again. And this is according to his divine power. His divine power. God has called us to glory and virtue, to honor and valor. This is what he calls us to, but it is because of his power in us. This is how we live for God. This is how we demonstrate our devotion to God. And this is the power of God that we are focusing on in Acts, specifically chapters 1 and 2. So as we consider this, I'm just going to share with you Revelation chapter 7, where the testimony concerning God's power is also communicated in verses 9 through 12. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And forever and ever is a mighty long time. So consider this until we meet again, Lord willing. Remember the question, what shall we do? In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, and God willing, we will resume the sermon the next time we meet. Until then, remember to tell somebody just how sweet it is to trust in Jesus. God bless you.